We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
On our Western Hotline, actually, we'll start. I got him on to talk golf. We got him on to talk golf, but we can throw him our topic of the day because he is the host of the Sabres post-game shows and here on WGR. Of course, he is also on Tee to Green, which will be heard Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. Our very own Brian Colesio with us now on the Western Hotline. Good morning, Mr. Colesio. Happy Friday.
Good morning. Happy Friday. Yeah, that Vegas Av series was just awesome. I mean, it's too bad it wasn't the Stanley Cup final. It was every game, every period was just awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And, yeah, I mean, Colorado shouldn't touch their team. They're really good. The format is, as you guys have been saying, is just, it's too bad that ended up having to be a second round matchup. But obviously, this year with COVID, the way they did the divisions and everything, I mean, it was what it was. But I would sign up to take Colorado's team in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just even one line. So, I wanted to talk to you a little bit. We always get you on for golf, and I was planning on getting you on next week, right, with the U.S. Open coming up. And then I saw the story this week, the reemergence of the story in regards to the Premier Golf League, which I do want to talk about. However, when will they be able to pair Koepka and DeChambeau on the tour? Like, really soon, I hope. I want these guys playing together.
Well, I mean, technically it could happen next week. I don't know if the USGA will do it when they put together the pairings for the U.S. Open. We should find those out probably on Monday. But, I mean, boy, what a bonanza that would be if you could put the two of them together in a group of three. And, you know, I guess you could argue that it would be reasonable to do it. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau is the defending U.S. Open champion. Brooks Koepka, we know, is a four-time major champion. You could do something to argue to put them together. Maybe you put the two of them together, and then you put, like, the U.S. amateur champion with the three of them together or something like that. I don't know. But, I mean, they could set it up for Thursday and Friday for the U.S. Open. I mean, for these majors, the guys, the people that run the tournament, they control the pairings. They set it up who they want together, and they want the timing for television. So they could do it. I'm sure that there's discussions of whether they should or whether they shouldn't, but my goodness, that would be phenomenal television if somehow you could put them together for the first two rounds.
Is this good for golf? What's going on with these two? That last video about free beer to the people who are thrown off the course was hilarious. Is it good for the game, do you think?
Well, it's definitely creating interest. I would say there's an argument more so that it is good. The fact that these guys are showing a little bit more personality. The one thing that we talked about on TD Green last week was, remember this year, the tour has set aside $40 million for what they're considering the players' branding and popularity to be. So we're wondering if Koepka is really pushing the envelope on
for sure.
To really get his awareness and his brand out there to be in a big piece of that. And, you know, DeChambeau, who knows? Could he be in on it too? But Koepka's really pushing that envelope with being a star on social media, posting videos, and I'm guessing that has a little incentive, the fact that he's been able to do this, because definitely his, quote, brand is definitely taking a hit in the good direction for this. Even if for people that don't like Koepka, the awareness of him and what he's all about is what a lot of that purse money was set aside for, and I'm sure that he's helped his cause tremendously by having all this controversy with him and Bryson over the last few weeks.
Well, there's a great fundamental question about golf. Does it want to be the kind of sport where, you know, whoever gets the most clicks gets paid, or the kind of sport where whoever wins the most gets paid? Because this Koepka DeChambeau thing, Brian, it is kind of fun. There is an end game, where does it go from here kind of question, though.
That's true. And, you know, I mean, ultimately, as we know, I mean, look at Tiger Woods. He won everything, and he dominated, but he still made 10 to 20 times more amount of money with his other off-the-course items, you know, endorsements and commercials and other things like that. So, you know, there is money to be made by branding yourself in a certain manner. Koepka clearly is going in that route. You could still make a lot of money winning, but you can make the big, big, big-time money doing other items too, and I think Koepka is trying to maybe head himself down that path for sure. Is it ultimately good for golf to have a rivalry? I think so. I mean, forever, during Tiger's run as the greatest, people were trying to think, is Mickelson his rival? You know, and at times you could say yes, and at times there was just nobody even close to him in terms of the golf. But this has a dynamic where we really haven't seen golfers really get after each other.
And, I was going to say, like, Tiger, he rarely acknowledged the others, right? Like, how often did that happen?
Almost never. I mean, remember him putting the blinders on mentally, physically, not even acknowledging the other guy. Like, that was part of his shtick, right? Like, he'd walk down the fairway, people would be yelling things. Like, he was locked in. Like, that was his thing. The fact that, I mean, you have guys, yes, I know we live in a different era with social media. That when Tiger in the early 2000s was doing everything, there wasn't necessarily Twitter out there or TikTok or Instagram to post these things. But the fact that he's openly mentioning other players, essentially, I mean, yes, he isn't saying the word Bryson DeChambeau, but the fact that he's referencing him quite often, that's definitely a changing of the guard, especially for golf, which, as you know, prides itself on etiquette and sportsmanship and all that sort of thing. And I think that's there, but I think having a little juiciness between a couple of guys here, that clearly these two guys are two of the most talked about players. DeChambeau is definitely a unique feature over the last year that, you know, I've talked with you guys about golf on the station. We've probably talked more about DeChambeau than any other golfer. His unique approach to the game. Koepka obviously doesn't like his approach to the game, and the two of them, personality-wise, clearly are getting at it here. And it's making it interesting for sure. I guess in the end, I'm sure even if the PGA Tour won't on the record say it's good, they know they're getting a lot of extra clicks and a lot of extra buzz from it. So I think in the end, as long as it maybe doesn't reach to a level where they feel like, you know, there's really some, I guess, personal attacks going on, I'm sure they're fine with it.
You know, Shooter McGavin wasn't a big fan of Happy Gilmore, too. And that, you know, I mean, and that turned out okay. He got a house for his mom, or grandmother, rather.
Yeah.
The Premier Golf League this week, Brian, they came out and said they are planning to start in January of 2023. What is it in a nutshell, and how could it impact the PGA Tour?
Yeah, so this league, similar to maybe what we saw this year with the Super League with soccer that didn't get off the ground. There's been rumors and chat about this for years, and most of the big-time players have said that they think that they don't want to participate, but hearing how it was described this week, I could see more players maybe giving it a thought because it's more player-friendly. They're calling it Dream Field. So tournaments would be 3 days instead of 4 days. No cut. I mean, that's an incentive for a player to maybe travel somewhere around the world to go play. You don't want to go and then miss the cut, and then you're like, oh, geez, I traveled halfway around the world to play two rounds. Well, yes, it's only a three-round tournament, but now there's no cut. Regulation and promotion, like, that's a piece that we know from, you know, European soccer leagues, that would actually be a piece in there too. But only 18 events. So this is an opportunity, I think, too, for at least while it's getting started, for the Premier Golf League to say, look, you can play in these 18 events, or they hope as many as possible. And if you're still wanting to play in the PGA Tour majors, the Masters, the U.S. Open, the PGA Championship, so on, those will still be a possibility. They keep talking about how that, you know, there's what's different about this versus the soccer Super League is that, you know, they say that 50% of the golf, the 50% of the funds come from fans, and like that this is a fan-run sort of thing. Some other things in there, but the fact that it's 3 days, there's no cut. They're talking about a 5-hour broadcast window, exceptional production a range of options in order to view this and participate in the broadcast. Like, there's some other things that they're looking at here. Obviously, in the end, for any of this to work, it's going to take buy-in. We saw with the soccer teams that eventually some of the big teams just started bailing, and that's ended up to the collapse of it. So it's really, to me, at this point, no matter how amazing these ideas are, and I think there are some good ideas, it's going to take guys like Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau and Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. Like, what is this group of players going to do? If they're going to play in it, there's a chance for it to work. If a lot of them aren't, it's probably going to fail. So I think at this point, the top to 10, 15 players in the world that hold the most power, I think those are the guys that ultimately are going to decide whether this ends up getting off the ground or not.
The final thing I guess I want to ask you, from what I read, the purses would be fantastic. There's a lot of money that would be available in this other, in the Premier Golf League, but the PGA players are limited to how many they have to ask for permission to go in other events. They're limited in the number of events they can go to. They have to play in a certain number of events on the PGA Tour. I'm getting to this. Is it possible some players would get kicked off the tour if they decide, I want to play a whole bunch of events over there?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think is going to have to be figured out, because, I mean, this league itself, this Premier League, will they engage in discussion with, like, the existing tours right now? Would a European Tour player that's playing the European Tour be allowed to play? Or would a PGA Tour player? And, you know, you want the bigger names. Most of the biggest names in the world play on the PGA Tour. Can they coexist? My guess is the PGA Tour wants no part of this because they know they're going to lose big names from all of their events. Yes, I think you'd get the big names to all participate still in the majors. But let's face it, the PGA Tour is a 50-week sort of league. There's events all the time, and they're looking for as many opportunities for their big names to get out for these tournaments. So the mid-level tournaments still exist and still make money and are still successful. So I got to imagine the PGA Tour has no interest in working with this Premier Golf League to kind of help get it off the ground, say, hey, how can we do this? For certain players, it's, you know, Tiger has set the precedent that golf now, at least in our lifetime, will be judged on majors. So I still think there will be players that will jump at any opportunity for something like this because there's a ton of money involved. But for the players that maybe are already, you know, guys that are multimillionaires, the big names that I just mentioned there, there still may be the lure of, look, ultimately my golf career is not going to be judged on whether I make $50 million, $60 million, $70 million, $80 million. It's going to be judged on how many times that I win at the Masters, the U.S. Open, the PGA, and the British Open. So I think there's still a piece of that, and that's the one piece that's tough, is that in these team sports, you can create these events with a different league and all that sort of stuff. Here's the problem. The Premier Golf League cannot just all of a sudden create an event at Augusta National. Like, that's tough.
Right.
So, like, that's the one, the piece of property that they really need to be on for the event to be great. Like, they can't have access to that. So that's what's a little tougher about golf, that they might have a big hurdle overcoming.
All right, Mr. Colesio, listen, put a little reminder in your phone. We're going to have you on Thursday next week in case I forget to text you.
Sounds good. I'll be ready. Let's hope maybe we're talking about Koepka and DeChambeau being in the same group. That would be fun.
That would be fun. All right. Yep. Thank you, Mr. Colesio. Hopefully, Saturday morning, 7 o'clock, right? Tee to green.
Yep, we'll be 7 to 8, and we're at Hickory Stick in Lewiston this week, a really cool course. So we'll be there on the air. Hope everybody can tune in.
Very good. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, guys.
We will get a break in 803-0550 to join us if the Sabres trade Eichel this offseason. You will be what? You can let us know. Anything else you want to talk about? That's fine. Other things are going on in the world of sports. Grab a line. Join us this morning, WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.